Hi, my name is Olga Sofia Solares. I am 16 years old. Today is August 29th, 2020. I am speaking with Nova, who is my friend. I am recording from St. Helena, California. Nova, can you introduce yourself? Tell us where you're recording from and your age.
Hi, my name is Nova. I'm 16 years old, a junior in high school, and I'm recording from Miami, Florida.
So, Nova, during this pandemic, where have you been quarantining?
With my two parents in our home.
Okay. So, to start off, how has the pandemic and quarantine affected your mental and physical health?
It's been in quite a bit of waves at the beginning. I think I was a little bit excited when we all thought that it would last for, 3 weeks. I just thought it would be kind of a break off of school. I got really into fitness. Like, I feel like I was taking kind of a breather because the past couple months since the beginning of the year up until when we first began quarantine were pretty stressful for me. And so at the beginning, I was doing really well. And then when I realized probably like 5 or 6 weeks in that this was a lot more serious than what we had previously thought, I think that's when I kind of like fell off working out a little bit after that, about 2 months in. And like, I feel like my mental health decrease kind of, it was like a slow burn.
Yeah.
That I slowly like got worse and worse. I'd never gotten to like the point where my mental health was really, really bad. Like I'd never had depression or anything, but I had never struggled with that before, thankfully. But current, especially because I'm a person who, I really enjoy being with other people, and I do not do well by myself for, long periods of time. And I'm an only child as well. Well, I'm not an only child, but my sister is 30 years old and has her own children and doesn't live with me anymore. It was basically just me and my parents, and that just was beginning to be very overwhelming, like about two months into it. And so, I feel like it's at a better place than it was, but let's say like 3 months into it was probably the worst for both my mental and my physical health. Like I was kind of just lying in bed all day, not really doing anything. And then once like school ended, also school had become a lot easier for me. Like I didn't really have to do much to do well in my classes or even pass my classes. And then once summer began, I had more things to do because I had internships, I had a job. So I actually like had a reason to push myself and do stuff like that. So I think that really like kind of brought me back to life a little bit. And now I'm doing much better, but it's come in waves. It definitely has come in waves.
So do you think like what you said, like 2 months in, you're like, hold up, this isn't a temporary thing. This seems to be pretty permanent for the time being. Do you think at that point it was like the loneliness and sort of the reality check that like had the most impact?
Definitely 100% the loneliness. Like I said before, it's literally just me and my parents.
Yeah.
And although I love them very much, I don't want to spend 24 hours, 7 days a week with them all the time. Not the funnest thing ever. So definitely the loneliness and like kind of the frustration that nothing was really getting any better, and there was like no end in sight, which is still kind of the same thing today. But like, before it's like you have and stuff started getting canceled. Like I was supposed to go to New York this summer, and like 6 weeks in was when they were like, okay, you're definitely not going. Like a lot of the things that I was really looking forward to were canceled, which is like very privileged things to say because people like lost their jobs and stuff. Yeah. But I was still excited to do all this stuff that I was planning to do this summer, and that all got canceled about 2 months into quarantine. And that's like what really kind of made me very, very sad.
Yeah, I get what you mean. It's hard seeing things that you were excited. And like you said, like we are lucky that we're in a good situation, like perspectively, I think that's the word, But it's hard not having things you look forward to and, like, you spent the whole year, like, getting excited about. You talked about how your outlook, like, you saw things and you're like, it wasn't getting better and it kept, and still not really getting better. Do you feel like because of that, you've sort of had a more pessimistic outlook on things?
Or? 100%. Really, 100%. You know, with the current just state of the world, it's very easy to look at everything pessimistically, and, you know, having no end in sight does not help. 100% does not help. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, being uncertain doesn't really help anything.
100%.
So, the next question, this sort of piggybacks off what we were talking about with mental health and loneliness, and we love our parents, but being cooped up in a house with our family, like, gets hard. What aspect of quarantine has been the most difficult for you?
Like I said before, definitely the loneliness and the lack of drive, really. Because there's so many things that I could do that I just see no point in doing.
Yeah.
Like, I have a guitar that I could have learned to play this whole time, and it was sitting right there. And because of that, you are, like, very you just get really mad at yourself. You're like, I have all the time on my hands when I could be doing stuff like that. Especially me, because I'm very much like, I want to be an artist when I grow up. I want to be an actor and stuff, and I'm like, I could have been doing so much more. You know, there are kids out there who are working super, super hard right now, and I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting in my bed all day, and it's just very, very frustrating when you know that you could be doing something, or, like, you're not working out. Like, everybody wanted to come out with, like, a perfect body after, and that didn't happen for the majority of us. And, yeah, it's just, it was frustration. It was, like, ugh, it's all the things.
Like, on social media, I know that I saw, like, people made jokes about it, and people also talk seriously about it, about how they're like, oh, I need to write a book, I need to write a movie, and learn how to play guitar. Like, do you feel like that was almost, like, crippling? Like, very...
100, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, pressure.
Definitely. It's peer... It's not peer pressure, but it's just pressuring on yourself, because you expect it. We all thought that everybody was going to achieve, like...
Yeah.
Landing on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
But... And when you don't do that, that's very disheartening and frustrating.
Yeah.
And... You know,
and
annoying.
Annoying, yeah. Especially that we're in such a fast-paced society, and especially with school, it was nonstop. We always had work. Having all that time on our hands was like, I need to do something. And I get what you mean, but that was just, like, almost frustrating that it was like you didn't have the drive.
Yeah.
So, next question. What do you consider self-isolation and quarantine?
Staying home and not going outside and not talking to anybody. Well, not physically seeing anybody.
Yeah.
People have very different definitions. Like, only see people you know, only wear masks. But, you know, my parents have been pretty strict for the most part until, like I said, about a month ago was when I was let out of my house for the first time. I wasn't allowed to see anyone. They didn't see anyone. Even we said that we weren't in full isolation because we still went to the grocery store. So we were like, oh, we're not doing complete, but people, you know, are doing a lot less than that. But yeah, staying home and not seeing anybody except your nuclear family.
Yeah, especially in, like, Miami right now, at least from what I've seen, like, on Snapchat and Instagram, that people are full on not caring.
No, people don't care at all.
When you see that, how does that make you feel? Like, when you see people without masks and giant groups and this, like, on the boats and stuff, like, how do you feel when you see that?
So frustrated, because, like, everybody is very hyper aware of what is going on, and people just either, one, don't believe it, or because, like, oh my gosh, let me tell you. So I'm like, I put a lot of stuff in my story all the time, like, whether it's due to, like, corona or, like, race, whatever, and a lot of people get very mad at me and DM me all the time, and every time I put corona stuff, there's always, like, people who come for my neck and are like, it's this, people are overreacting, it's just like the flu, like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And people legitimately don't believe it. And that is the thing that really kind of scares me, that people just like have no fear. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you think you're stronger than a virus? That's like people, to me, that's the equivalent of people saying, oh, I don't need sunscreen. You think you're stronger than the sun?
Yeah.
The sun? Like, come on. I don't know. That really frustrates me because mm-hmm. Everybody is in some sort of uncomfortable state right now, and you're just prolonging that when it is so easy to not do that. I mean, I understand. I even hang out with my friends. Like, if you're in a group of, like, 50 people, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. And that is just so unnecessary.
And it's actually happening. It sounds crazy, but it is.
Yeah, I know.
So, next question. You talked about how it's minimal seeing people. How do you cope with the social isolation and being so far away from your friends? You talked about how you, like, really thrive on interacting with people. How do you cope with the social isolation?
Well, thankfully, we have a really high-tech society where we have FaceTime. Yeah. So I do that a lot. I need to be, like, constantly. I don't like being alone with my thoughts for too long, which is kind of a sad thing to say. But I engage in a lot of, like, what is a good word for it? Just entertainment, I guess. Like, I mm-hmm. watch a lot of Netflix. I read. I try and that's one thing I've tried to do more, is like start reading plays and stuff, like I said, because I want to be like a performer when I grow up, and, you know, trying to do stuff like that. And not coping the best with it, honestly. I try to write as much as I can. Writing has been a good outlet for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just a lot of different means, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so
not
the social isolation has definitely, that seems to be, like, the biggest thing for you, that it's hard.
Yeah, that's really hard for me.
So, wait, go on, sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, but, yeah, like you said before, social, not distancing, isolation has been just extremely, extremely hard for me, probably harder than most, because I'm not, like, introverted whatsoever. I don't like being alone. Like, I don't think I'll ever live alone in my life, because I'll probably just go insane. Yeah. So that has been, like, very hard for me.
So you talked about how you're writing more, you're trying to read, and even though it's the social isolation still hard, do you feel like these means of entertainment sort of, like, gets your mind off of, like you said, your thoughts, like, keeps you from almost, like, thinking too much, like, going into a rabbit hole of thoughts? I get what you mean.
Yeah. I feel like going into a world that is, like, anything but my own is, like, whenever I watch a movie or I read a book, or I usually try and steer away from writing about, like, my own life, because that kind of defeats the purpose of why I'm writing, at least for right now, just mm-hmm. to, like, engage in something else than my own reality.
Yeah.
So I feel like that has helped a lot, for, you know, temporarily becoming enthralled with this other character's life. I feel like that has helped a lot.
Yeah.
But that's, like, what I've done my whole life, basically, is, like, put some sort of entertainment on when I just don't want to deal with whatever's going on, which I feel like is what a human is for.
Yeah, it is. It's to get your mind off of almost, like, reality. Escape.
Reality.
Yeah. So, next question. We talked about going places and how you considered yourself not totally quarantining because you went to the grocery store at this time, like, right now, compared to a few months ago in March when quarantine first started. How safe do you feel going places such as grocery stores, restaurants?
Restaurants, I have not gone to one, since quarantine began. I don't feel safe going to them whatsoever. I've heard horror stories, so I really am scared of those. But speaking of that, today I went to thrift shopping with some friends, and I felt actually pretty safe, because I feel like most stores like that really, encourage, like, social distancing mm-hmm. and it's required to wear a mask, and they, you know, took our temperature at the door. So I feel like establishments that take all of the necessary precautions, I feel pretty safe and pretty at ease. But places where there's, like, food being, you know, cross-contamination and that threat and stuff, like restaurants, I don't feel safe really going at. But especially, like, sitting down. Like, I've ordered, but I haven't, like, sat down anywhere. And I don't know. It depends on how precautious, on the cautions that an establishment is taking is how comfortable I feel. That's not, like, a really good answer, but...
No. It's an answer. I mean, that's how you feel. So going on, like, in the future, do you feel like you're still gonna have, like, these feelings, like, towards restaurants? Like, you're like, oh, I'm not really comfortable. Like, this cross-contamination. Do you feel like your eyes are sort of open to, like, wow, we need to, like, be more
precautious? Yeah, definitely. Because I see pictures of, like, people at concerts before all of this happened, and I was like, I can't believe that people were ever that close before. And I can't, like, I don't know. I feel like I can't really say... For the foreseeable future, yes. Long term, unsure. But for the foreseeable future, definitely yes.
I feel like everybody long term is really unsure right now. It's really just, it's scary. So how has, over the course of the pandemic since March, since obviously things are changing, how has your standard of quarantining and self-isolation changed?
Like I said before, I was in almost complete isolation with just my parents for a good 3 months, almost all the way through the summer. And my parents, it was more my parents, except not me, because my parents are also seniors. My dad is 65 and my dad is 67 and my mom is 61. And so they're a lot more high risk than most people's parents. So they've had me take a lot of precautions just as they have. And I don't know, these past couple months, I've been allowed to go out like twice a week, which is like pretty crazy in comparison to being at home 24/7. Like only one person was allowed at the grocery store at once. We were pretty intense about it. So I think I've just gotten a lot more freedom ever in the past 2 months than before.
Yeah. And I, even like the two times going out the house a week, that's like,
yeah, that's pretty crazy for me. Like my parents let me out today with three other friends and I was very shook. Did not think they were going to say yes to that, but they did.
So the next one, you talked about how you didn't really see your friends a lot and how today it was like you were shocked to be able to go hang out with them. How has quarantine affected your relationship with friends, family? We don't have colleagues. We're in high school, but like fellow students.
I feel like it just is really sad because you have a lot of friends that you only see at school or that you really only talk to. Like even us, we don't really talk that much outside of school. Like, only on Insta DM, sometimes on Snap, whatever. And there are people that I talk to almost every single day, and I haven't talked to them in months, which that has really sucked because, you know, I've only talked to probably, like, a handful of people. So that really sucks. I haven't really, like, lost any of my friends or anything like that.
It's more...
But it's just not the same. And also, like I said, I was supposed to go to camp this year, and there are people that I only can see once a year, and I wasn't able to see them at all. And some of them are graduating, and I probably won't see them ever again, which is really, really sad. So that part has sucked. Just a lot of it has sucked, not being able to see anyone. I don't know if it's necessarily, like, damaged relationships, because I haven't, like, fallen out with anybody. But it definitely has not made them easier.
Yeah, like growing apart almost.
Yeah.
That's just the distance and not seeing. Because I know what you mean by that you have like school friends that you really only talk to at school.
Yeah. It's and almost... that I do appreciate them. And I like love talking to them at school. It's just, you know what I mean? It's if they're not your immediate circle of friends, usually you're not going to talk to them like that. Which kind of sucks. But... you know, it is what it is.
It's hard.
Yeah.
So, I know that this is a really new time, and there's not really, at least for me, there's never been anything like it. Have there been any other times in your life that have felt similar to what we are experiencing now, either physically, emotionally, environmentally?
Not really. As, like, a whole, not that I can remember. Oh, my gosh. Actually, there was one time that was, like, vaguely similar to this. When I was really little, when I was, like, five or six, I got pneumonia really, really bad, and I wasn't allowed to leave my house for, I want to say, like, 3 weeks, and I could basically only stay in my room, and, yeah, like, my lungs were almost collapsed. It was pretty bad, and I remember, like, that really vividly, because, like I said, my entire life, I've, like, thrived off of other people, and I remember I would, like, get really sad all the time because I wasn't able to see my friends, and back then, we didn't have FaceTime or anything like that, so it seemed really, like, a very, very long time, and I was, like, devastated because my friends couldn't come over. I couldn't, yeah, see them. I was only with my parents. My sister was at college. It was not a fun time. And so that's probably, like, the closest thing that I can compare to this. But, yeah, I wasn't, like, as cognizant of everything that was going on.
Yeah.
Back then. So, but, like, that is the only thing that I can even compare it to.
Yeah. Everything else. Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is our last question, and this is really one that you could go off on in any... Okay, so we're back. So, like I was saying, this question, you could really take it however you want. Okay. Has, and if so, how, has pandemic changed your views on life and society?
Packed question. Because quite a bit has happened during this, yeah, pandemic. Like, other than the pandemic itself, mm-hmm, you know, everything going on racially, and being, like, Black myself, you know, that has really taken a toll. I saw, like, this tweet that this was, like, this has been one of the worst years for Black America in modern times, and I'm like, yeah, it's definitely probably one of the worst that I can remember in my 16 years of living, which is not very long, but... Yeah. Whatever. And, you know, everything going on with the presidential election and just so many people showing, you know, the true colors,
yeah,
of how they think and stuff like that. So how has it changed?
Or maybe
I don't want to say.
Maybe not change. Maybe, like, reinforced something you believed or saw society as before, like, anything, really, just how... Has it impacted?
I think that it is very important to stick with your beliefs.
Yeah.
That is the thing that I found. Because people around you, especially when you think of, like, those people who do, like, Black Lives Matter protests in, like, mm-hmm, sundown towns and stuff like that, who are very strong to what they believe in.
Yeah.
I feel like that is a pretty important thing.
Yeah.
Just in general, every day, for your life, about everything. So stick with your belief in, stick to what you believe in, and to also listen to other people's opinions.
Yeah.
On what is going on. Because especially people that are willing to listen to yours, you, mm-hmm, know? If it's only one-sided, then I don't think that will be productive on either, you know, yeah, party discussion, but listening to each other, but also sticking to your beliefs morally.
Yeah.
And, but with that, also being able to understand where another person is coming from.
Yeah.
I think that has been very helpful to me,
yeah,
and to others surrounding, like, just, you know, the big conversation with race in America,
yeah,
and with even just how people are dealing with the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that listening and being able to listen to others while still sticking to your own moral compass is very essential for life.
Yeah. So you said about, obviously it's very important to respect people's opinions and listen, but when people's opinions are harming others or affecting others in a negative way, how do you address that? Like, how do you...
I think that is, like, where the line is drawn. If you're being some sort of, like, I guess, either xenophobe or, like, harmful person in any way, shape, or form, I think that's where the discussion of, like, tolerance needs to end. Because you cannot tolerate somebody that is harming somebody else when that person is not harming them. You know what I mean? If somebody is just, like, going after, whether that be, like, homophobia, racism, this, that, or the ableism, whatever the case may be, going about that, I'm not a good person to ask for that because I don't deal with that type of stuff very well. Like, usually that's where I, like, either end a relationship with someone or, like, end a conversation of some sort. Like, there have been quite a bit of people who, this is really bad. But, everybody who, like, followed Trump that I followed on Instagram, I, like, unfollowed them. And I made, like, a TikTok about it. And quite a bit of people got mad at me because they were like, how can you end a friendship over
politics? That's a huge moment.
And I'm like, it goes beyond politics. Like, even though you yourself may not call yourself a racist or think that you're a racist, like, racism isn't
your number one issue.
No, I'm just saying racism isn't a
deal
breaker. Like, an automatic no for you. You know what I mean? Like, for me, if you're racist in any way, shape, or form to any group of people, that's it. It's over. I cannot support you. And especially if you encourage such racist rhetoric as, like, it's going on now. And I really cannot, like, just support anything. And he's, like, so transphobic and just himself. And I, like, cannot be around people who are outlandish supporters of him. Like, I just can't do it. And people got very mad at me for that. And like I said, I stuck to my morals and I haven't taken it back and I haven't taken the video down and I have not followed anybody back unless they've explicitly asked me to for one reason or the other. Like, I even unfollowed my friends who I know don't support him and just follow him because they want to see what's going on. I'm like, I'm not taking any chances. I don't know what you secretly feel. Like, I could, you know, I could be completely wrong about you.
So you could add on to this, but what I get is from what you're saying, when people are ableist or racist, homophobic, they're really against someone's existence.
Literally, 100%.
So is that like how you address it? That if you're really against someone's existence or they're like just them being themselves, is that where you draw the line and your tolerance ends?
I've never thought about it like that, but yes, somebody's existence that doesn't harm anybody else in any way, shape, or form, if you are just outwardly, like, against that, then I just don't understand it. Like, that really just does not register correctly in my brain, and I feel like it puts more effort into, like, being against somebody's existence than either not caring or supporting it. Like, it just weighs down on you personally, and it just, like, requires effort. Like, if you don't care, then that requires absolutely none. And if you support it, it, like, hires your vibration or your moral morality, whatever. I don't know. I don't see the point. Like, that just, I don't want to surround myself with people like that. Like, also, I'm a pretty spiritually type person, and I really don't like, this sounds like I really don't like surrounding myself. I just don't like surrounding myself with people who have like bad vibes. Like,
I know, like, what you mean. I know
that type of, like, hatred or, like, dislike or discomfort of people who literally just exist will lower your vibration, and I don't want that around me. Like, in any way, shape, or form. So even though, like, it's for both selfish reasons and for, like, I'm also like a person who talks so much about tolerance of just people's existence. So it would be very hypocritical of me to have friends who are homophobic or racist or ableist in any way, shape, or form. If I'm a person who's so against that.
I know what you mean. So that was the last question. Now we just really, if it's time for, if you want to talk, if you just want to like add on anything, follow up with anything, close up with anything.
I don't really have anything to close on. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for doing
it. I feel like I'm on a podcast or something. I feel like this is what filming a podcast is like, and I've always wanted to do that, and I love speaking. Talking is one of my favorite pastimes, one of my favorite activities to do. In school, I always get in trouble for it, but I will do it till I die. So I don't, any closing remarks? I don't have anything specific to say. Just vibe. Just live, laugh, love, vibe. Stay true to yourself. And practice. Oh my God. Let me tell you something that I started doing that has actually made my quarantine a lot better. Okay, so I started practicing this thing called Transcendental Meditation, which is a lot of celebrities does it. Harry Styles does it.
If Harry Styles does it.
Yeah, exactly. But my parents took me to this at the beginning of quarantine. Well, like a month and a half into quarantine, my parents took me to this, like, I don't know what to call her, like the shaman or something. And she taught us how to practice Transcendental Meditation. And I really did not want to do it. Even though I'm like spiritual, it's just anything my dad tells me to do, like I want to do the complete opposite, which is really bad because a lot of the times he's right, but don't tell him that. But whatever, I didn't want to do it. And then I actually started practicing it, and it has helped me quite a bit. I think that's one of the things that like gave me a lot more patience with just everything that's going on. It's you do it since I'm 16, I do it for 16 minutes a day. And if you're over the age of 18, you do it for 20 minutes a day, twice a day. I usually only do it once, but even, you know, the once a day has helped me quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it, like, energizes you, and it's just very good. I feel like meditation, just in general, is a very, very useful tool for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really helped me. I think that whenever I don't do it, it's days that I'm, like, very unmotivated. And I don't really end up doing anything except watching TV all day. And then when I do, I feel like I accomplish a lot more and I have like a lot more drive. So I don't know, guys, look into Transcendental Meditation. It's pretty fire. Love it. Live it. It's great.
So do you think that over quarantine, you've been able to like tap into your spirituality almost?
Oh, for sure. I've been like, you know this. I've been
manifestation.
Yeah, for real. I did a whole ceremony yesterday. But, you know, I've been witchy since, like, I've been very spiritually awakened.
The neighborhood witch.
Yeah. I literally have been calling myself a witch since I was in, like, 7th grade. And I feel like that's another thing where it, like, used to come in waves. But I feel like now I'm a lot more stable in it. And that has helped me quite a bit. It's made me become, like, a lot more calm person. I'm still, like, one of the things that I'm really bad at is I'm a little bit of a control freak. Like, I hate when people are late. I hate when stuff is, like, out of my control. Like, that's when I get very frustrated. Mm-hmm. And I feel like quarantine has really tested that.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. Nothing is in our control, really.
Yeah.
And what other people do is not in our control. And that has tested me quite a bit. I don't like that. That makes me very anxious, very frustrated.
Yeah.
A lot of sorts. I get, like, I have a short temper, too, sometimes, but I'm working on. But, you know.
Yeah.
It is one of my flaws. And I feel like quarantine has tested all of those things. But, you know.
Yeah.
Meditation and self-reflection, most importantly, have helped me at least begin to go through them. And eventually, hopefully, I will move past them.
So I feel like that's an awesome note to close up on, that really just, like, what I've got from that is you've learned to, like, sort of be.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, just be content.
Yeah.
With, maybe not even content, just, like, in peaceful existence and okay with what's going on.
Yeah.
Instead of just, like, constantly
angry, almost.
Angry, yeah. Literally.
I know that happens with me. I'm just, yeah. I get angry at the world.
In a constant state of just rage.
Yeah.
Which is not good at all for anybody around you, for yourself. It makes you irritable. It makes you not an attractive person. Gross all around. And yeah, the contentness has helped quite a bit. Just learning how to exist in the state of the world.
Yeah. Well, thank you again so much. It was so nice interviewing you.
It was great. I haven't talked to you in forever, so this was good, catchy, even though it was like 90% me talking.
Yeah. But that's what this is for. It's for you to open up and talk about your experience. It's not about me. It's about you talking about how you feel over coronavirus. With coronavirus, you know?
Yes, yes.
The environment.
It was a fun time.
It was fun interviewing you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Who else have you interviewed?